first four quarter-finalists of this season's competition are set after a dramatic night of football across Europe. The defending champions, Paris Saint-Germain, laid down a marker to reach the last eight yet again, whilst Real Madrid and Arsenal continued their journeys on the road to Budapest. Sporting will join them after one of the greatest UEFA Champions League comebacks of all time. Plenty to review over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, and the last eight is taking shape now. Confirmed results on Tuesday. It finished Manchester City 1, Real Madrid 2 on the night. The record winners going through 5-1 on aggregate. Paris Saint-Germain 3-0 winners at Chelsea to progress 8-2 on aggregate. Sporting 5-0 winners against Bodo Glimt after extra time. They go through 5-3 on aggregate. And Arsenal beat Leverkusen by 2-0 to go through 3-1 at the conclusion of that tie. The European football expert Andy Brassel is alongside me, as well as commentator John Bradley, and all four victors tonight will fancy their chances now after, in different ways, making it through to the real business end of this competition, the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and I think if you look at this two-legged performance from Real Madrid, it's like a resubmission of a candidacy, really. And as John was saying earlier in commentary, the fact is they have won it 15 times. We shouldn't need reminding. But actually, it felt as if Real Madrid played over these two legs as if they had something to prove all over again. And they did that despite Manchester City, in very trying circumstances, making it way more difficult than it might have been otherwise.
Great scenes at the end at the City of Manchester Stadium for Real Madrid and their supporters. Vinicius Junior leading his teammates over. Wonderful moment between the travelling support and the players. Real Madrid back in the last eight. We'll get into it very shortly. But John, just to bring you in very quickly, goals again galore. We've had a wonderful Champions League season. Shows no sign of slowing down at all.
It's absolutely captivating. The levels, I think, that we're seeing in the games as well, it's quite outstanding to be drawn in by the early game, of course, on the evening, and to see the history being created by Sporting, to move on to watch this game. And Manchester City have been beaten here and produced one of the best performances a beaten team has probably ever produced against Real Madrid. But that's what Real Madrid do to you.
Let's start in London then with the defending champions, Paris Saint-Germain. Andy Brassel, they went into it off the back of a wonderful end to the first leg, where they scored three late goals, two of them very, very late, and ultimately this tie was won inside the opening 15 minutes of the second leg. Two outstanding finishes to really move them too far clear of Chelsea to ever think of a comeback.
They really were, and they sort of finished it, Paris, in the same style that they finished the tie, in the same way that they finished the first leg. The fact that Chelsea really was scratching their heads thinking, you know, we're three goals behind, how is that possible? We played actually pretty well in that first leg, but Kvisha Kvaratskhelia took it away from them at the end of the first game and then just picked up from that.
Yeah.
I think a really wise move from Luis Enrique to start him in this. A brilliant finish to put them in front. Then Bradley Barcola, who, bear in mind, had not scored in the UEFA Champions League for a year until last week, now has 2-2 in really one of the biggest matches, the biggest match so far in this UEFA Champions League season. There are a lot of doubts expressed in the French media going into that first game, whether Paris were even favourites for this tie. Well, they've put that thought to bed quite emphatically and underlined why they are champions of this competition.
Left-footed finish across the goalkeeper from Kvaratskhelia after 6 minutes. Barcola on his right foot, blasting it into the roof of the net after 15. And after that, we're able to manage the game until we saw another lovely moment for young Seni Meulu, who, of course, scored in the final in Munich. But another gorgeous finish from him in the second half to really seal the deal and to go through at this stage 8-2 on aggregate against a team as good as Chelsea. It's a serious statement from Paris Saint-Germain, right?
Yeah, it's remarkable. And when you think that they came out at Stamford Bridge this evening to that big banner behind the shed end saying champions of the world, and I think, you know, that's something that still lives in their mind. I think the Club World Cup. They played every match that it was possible to play last season, Paris Saint-Germain. They couldn't quite get the final one over the line, although, of course, the UEFA Champions League is the one they'd been chasing for so many years. So I think the opportunity to retort to Chelsea in this way is something very, very important to them, and they've really relished doing that over the last week, I feel.
Of course, they beat Monaco in gripping fashion in the knockout playoffs, and that goal from Maiula has made a bit of history, and in terms of squad depth and I guess squad spirit as well, they've now scored the most goals by subs in a single UEFA Champions League season. That was the 10th, beating Kaiserslautern from 98-99 with 9 and Deportivo La Coruña in the 2000-2001 season, who had 8 goals from subs. So just goes to show the strength and depth that Luis Enrique has, but also the will of everybody. If you come on the pitch, you want to make your mark.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we saw that with Barcala in this tie, who'd been a little bit marginalised, I think it's fair to say, by the end of last season. Still an important player, but of course the emergence of Désiré Doué was quite hard to hold back. Of course, he'd been brilliant in the knockout stages and then was an even higher level in the final, where he really captured the imagination of the world. But of course, such an incredible situation for Luis Enrique to have Kvaratskhelia to bring on a substitute last week, to have Doué to bring on a substitute if he wanted to this weekend.
Yes.
And Doué, of course, already came on as substitute to make a difference in the last round against Monaco.
Do you know, it's a really, really good point that we talk about squad depth of clubs. But statistically, more and more goals are being scored later in games now. And I think if you look at many of the leagues across Europe, there's fewer goals that are being scored in the first half of games now. Most goals are being scored in the second half of games. So having that squad depth, having those players that you can, the explosive players to come off the bench, the players that can make a difference, are so, so vital. And we're going to see that over the next, couple of months until we get to the final.
And so many coaches now talk about starters and finishers, right? They don't talk about subs at all, but certainly Paris Saint-Germain doing the business, and they are through. They will meet Liverpool or Galatasaray in the quarterfinals, which is going to be a brilliant tie, whoever ultimately goes through to meet the defending champions. Let's head next to the early match, because it was historic. Sporting taking on Bodo Glimt, the Norwegian side, with that 3-0 lead from the first leg last week. This amazing debut campaign that they have had. Here is how the second leg unfolded. Martin Tyler was on commentary.
They need one to go in, and there it is. Inacio was up from the back, just got a little flick on it. He's waving his teammates back to go again. They lead 1-0 on the evening, and they've cut the deficit. Here goes Luis Suarez, Grulli to set up the second. Pedro Gonçalves, they're climbing closer to the comeback. Extra pace from Suarez, the top scorer turns provider here. And the returning Pedro Gonçalves, a midfield player with a big eye for goal, gobbled up the chance. Here goes Trincao, stayed on his feet to his credit. Fresneda asked for handball, very close. Penalty given straight away. Luis Suarez is having a fantastic season. This will be a very special moment as he fires it in and fires Sporting level. 3-0 up on the night. They were 3-0 down from the first leg, and they believe that they can get this done. It will take extra time and maybe beyond to settle it. Cut back by Maganza. And it's in. It's put away in great style by the man, really, who set it off at the beginning, Maxi Araújo, and they are in front early in extra time for the first time in the tie. Sporting's excellent performance, and it's not finishes, it's Braganza, and here's Nel, and that does wrap it up. The youngster from the bench, and it is 5-0, as as it was when they beat Manchester United all those years ago, the fixture that they've been looking back to in these parts to say it can be done.
Yes, astonishing stuff from Sporting, adding their name to the illustrious list of teams to overturn a three-goal deficit or more in a UEFA Champions League knockout tie. Deportivo in 2004, Roma in 2018, Liverpool in 2019, Barcelona with that biggest remontada of all time against Paris Saint-Germain in 2017, and now Sporting in this season's round of 16. Remarkable stuff from the team from Lisbon. Well, how about this? Maxi Araujo's goal is the earliest ever scored in extra time in UEFA Champions League history. Just 1 minute and 23 seconds in. They really were, from minute one to minute 120, non-stop.
Yeah, they were. And the level of belief was something spectacular. But I kind of wonder if they found that in the first leg, because towards the end of that, they had some chances to pull one back and take back a smaller score to Lisbon for tonight, but weren't able to take those chances. Now, the fact that Araujo, the fact that Pedro Gonçalves were involved, two very gifted, especially Pedro Gonçalves, such a technically gifted player and such a smart finisher as well, one that they really could have done with in the first leg. They made a difference. But having said that, maybe there was a bit of a sea change in that this was the first time, really, that in this incredible run that Bodø/Glimt have had of five successive UEFA Champions League wins against big opposition, that this was the first time that I think people really thought, oh, they're the favourites. Now, yes. I'm not suggesting that got in Kjetil Knutsen's head or Bodø/Glimt's head, but I think that maybe affected the way that Sporting played, because the desire to prove everyone wrong, to prove the criticism they got in Portugal wrong, to prove those around in their support who said they couldn't do it, I think it really felt... I mean, it was... Rui Borges, the coach, who said in the pre-match press conference, look, if anyone can do this comeback, we can. And that level of belief, I think, was evident from minute one.
They had three or four great chances in the opening 15 minutes. It didn't quite go in. You wondered, OK, was that the storm that Bodø/Glimt had to weather? But it wasn't, because they kept on coming and coming.
Well, if anyone knows anything about Portuguese storms, the weather's lovely most of the time. But when it rains, it really rains.
And it did.
38 shots.
And it did rain pretty much all night at the Jose Alvalade. John, a word on Bodø/Glimt. Unforgettable Champions League campaign. Getting through the league phase with those late wins against Manchester City and Atletico. Beating Inter home and away in the knockout playoff. It's been one of the stories of this season's UEFA Champions League, and even after the final, it will remain that. They've thrilled, haven't they? And yes, they'll be disappointed to go out, of course, but you saw at the end when they went over to their fans, the amount of pride in what they have achieved was very obvious to see.
We've absolutely loved their development in European football over the past few seasons, to grow into the Champions League, to play in the other competitions, of course, and then to come into this one with such a fearless approach and a fearless attitude. They weren't scared by anyone. They weren't fazed by anyone at all. They loved having the big teams up to their little ground in the Arctic Circle. And no one relished that journey. No one relished that trip. And when they went on the road, they took their hordes of fans with them, and it was fantastic to see, and it was so exciting. They play with a real swagger. They play with such a cavalier approach as well. And I'll tell you something as well. They've lost a few good players over the last few years, but they found a few other good ones as well, because there's some talent in that squad.
They didn't win the league, of course. Viking did. Another amazing story. And they'll go into the Champions League playoff round next summer, Viking. Bodø/Glimt in the competition again. They'll have to begin from the Champions League second qualifying round, and maybe their journey in the next campaign will be just as exciting. We will absolutely want to witness it if it does happen. But Sporting through, amazing performance. They will face Arsenal in the quarterfinals, and we'll tell you how they made it through against Leverkusen later on in the show.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Okay, to Manchester next, where we saw a rematch of what is fast becoming a Champions League classic. Manchester City taking on Real Madrid. The Spanish side, of course, led 3-0 after the first leg. Here is how round two unfolded. John Bradley was watching it for Matchday Live.
Now a ball a little further over to the left-hand side. It's Vinicius Junior cutting inside the penalty. Shoots right footed. It comes back off the post. It hits the goalkeeper and the ball is still alive. And it comes out towards a real chance where the ball is hit towards the near post with the effort by Vinicius Junior. We wait because we have a VAR check. And it's a very quick check. And it's a penalty, and it's a red card for Bernardo Silva as well. A deliberate handball on the goal line to deny the goal-scoring opportunity. Vinicius Junior, a couple of steps sideways, now runs up to the ball, little stutter, right-footed, and sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. And Real Madrid strike first. It's a hugely significant moment in the tie. They lead by 1-0. But more significantly, it's now 4-0 on aggregate. The ball is played by Reinders in towards Doku. Wonderful turn. A cross goal. And Manchester City do have a goal. Erling Haaland taps home. And maybe, just maybe, they're not out of this one yet. They are still looking to win it. And Vinicius Junior is there again. And this time he does score. This one will count. It's a wonderful piece of movement. Brilliant ball by Dani Carvajal. And Vinicius Junior in like a flash to send the ball home. And in the 94th minute of the game, Real Madrid do have a second goal and a winner on the night.
8 total attempts for Vinicius Junior, 2 goals as you heard, a top speed of 33.7 kilometres an hour, which is quick, and covered 10k again in a big game. One of the world's best players.
Yes.
Stepped up.
Yes, he really did. And I think given that Kylian Mbappe was only able to have quite peripheral involvement in this. You know, they brought him on for, I guess, to get some reps in as he recovers from that knee injury when the tie was all but sealed anyway. I think to have Federico Valverde step up in the first game and then Vinicius Junior to step up in this second one is a very good reminder that Real Madrid have leaders and have real leaders who can seize the moment. Now, the impact of Valverde in the first leg was something spectacular and unexpected, not because we already know he's a great player, so that's not the question, but the fact is the different types of goals he scored. And actually, we saw Vinicius perform so many different roles tonight for Real Madrid. He was able to really stretch Manchester City on the left-hand side. He was able to play as that central striker when Brahim Diaz dropped out as well and took up a deeper role. So at points, Vinicius was playing on the wing. If you think of the action that created the first goal, he has the shot from the left, then moves over to the right, yeah, which leaves the Bernardo Silva handball, then scores the penalty. So you get left, right, centre in the same move. Stretching that Manchester City back four, that has to push up, that has to be positive as well. And then goes in to score the perfect centre forwards goal to seal it all at the end. And he got through a load of work off the ball as well.
Yeah, complete footballer, Vinicius Junior. John, they seemed really hungry over both legs. And huge moment for Álvaro Arbeloa, but that is a squad intent on lifting this trophy for a 16th time.
I got the impression that they didn't like the narrative that was being painted quite a lot by a number of people that Manchester City were favourites for this tie. And I think that that might have just irked them a little, because that was as emphatic a two-legged performance, I think, that you could see. And with the number of players they had out, the players that they brought in, and younger players stepping forward, Thiago Pitas coming in and just looking like he's been in that middle up midfield for years. Arda Güler really grinding it out in the engine room. And we all know the quality of Valverde. We know the quality of Vinicius. And we know the sort of players they are. But there's another generation, isn't there? I mean, Aurelien Tchouaméni has got through an almighty amount of work in that game. And Manchester City were fantastic. I mean, they were absolutely brilliant on the night, playing with 10 men for nearly 70 minutes. They had more possession than Real Madrid. And obviously, with Real Madrid having the advantage that they had, that they could play like that and play on the counter-attack. But Manchester City, even with 10 men, kept moving the ball really, really well, kept creating chances. Courtois was fantastic in the first half. He went off at half-time. Andrei Lunin comes on, and the first thing he does in the second half is make a brilliant save to deny Erling Haaland. Yeah. And it's a collective thing with Real Madrid. They all step forward when they need to, and that's why, you know, they are who they are in this competition.
And something that I guess is never normally underlined about Real Madrid is that prolific academy. Everyone knows the name of La Masia, not everyone knows the name of La Fabrica. And it's because a lot of those players in the past that Real Madrid have produced, they've produced and they've succeeded at other clubs. But now we're seeing increasingly them succeed at the club that produced them.
Which is something Alvaro Arbeloa said at the weekend, didn't he, after the domestic win, about his immense pride at seeing that many of their academy stepping out in the famous white into the first team.
And he knows them all so well, of course, having grown up with them in the, you know, the 18s and the youth sections of the Real Madrid club. You know, he was there a year ago, so he knows all about it. Now, that same hunger he has as a coach at youth level has transferred itself to the first team level very, very well, because he's getting the right response from the first team players as well that he was getting at youth level.
Real Madrid will take on Atalanta or Bayern in the quarterfinals. Another cracking tie to look forward to. Let's head back to London now for the last of Tuesday's round of 16 second legs. Arsenal beating Leverkusen, and the moment of the night, an absolutely scorching hit from Eberechi Eze, his first goal in the UEFA Champions League. It was magnificent, and he has been speaking about it following their progression to the last eight.
I don't know if I could dream of scoring a goal like that, to be fair. It's a difficult team to play against. We saw that when we went there, and we knew that it would take moments like this to sort of put the game in our favour, and we, as a team, we did that today.
It was quite a tight second leg when he stepped forward, Andy Brassel. One touch to tee it up with his left foot on the swivel. Absolutely cracked one. Couldn't have caught it more perfectly. Beyond the goalkeeper, really, before he knew anything about it. It was a magnificent moment for Eze to open his account in this competition.
Yes, and for someone, Chris, who we know was a big Arsenal fan as a kid.
Yeah.
He has produced a moment there that is worthy of Thierry Henry, that was worthy of Dennis Bergkamp, Ian Wright. Any of those would have loved to score that goal. It was such intuitive skill. And he made a very, very difficult skill look really, really easy. And that just took a lot of the pressure off Arsenal. But look, in this, they were just irresistible. And they managed to not let their frustration get the better of them, because Yanis Blažević had a brilliant, brilliant first half in goal for Bayer Leverkusen, their reserve goalkeeper. But as Eberechi Eze himself said, it just needed that special moment that he was able to provide with the resistance that Leverkusen showed.
Declan Rice was the official UEFA player of the match. Lovely second for him. Really controlled measures, curling finish into the bottom corner. We can hear from the Arsenal boss, Mikel Arteta, who was full of praise for his side.
The team was immense today. And the manner that we started the game, showing so much domination, big chances. I think the keeper kept them alive in the first half because it should have been two or three at least. And yeah, then there are certain moments, obviously, that are a really good side that they can dominate you and make you play deep. But I think overall we had a big performance as a team and individually as well, players that elevated the level to the highest standards probably of the season.
Arsenal back in the quarterfinals. They will take on Sporting. That is a tie that we know absolutely is coming up. And it'll be a very good one as well. If the round of 16 this evening is anything to go by, a reminder, four more huge fixtures on Wednesday. UEFA Champions League Match Day Live back on air 15 minutes ahead of the late kickoffs on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. The early game is very interesting, Andy Brassel. Barcelona against Newcastle, 1-1 after the first leg. That late penalty from Lamine Yamal, the last kick of the game, actually, after Newcastle had scored a couple of minutes before. It's going to be a big occasion. Barca playing back at the Camp Nou in front of fans in a big Champions League knockout stage game.
Yes, and they're irresistible at home. You know, they've won all of their home games in La Liga this season. They nearly turned around, talking of turnaround, big deficits, as we've been talking about this evening. They nearly did that in the semi-final of the Copa del Rey, second leg at Camp Nou against Atletico a couple of weeks ago, coming from 4-0 down in the first leg to win 3-0 in the second leg. And another win at the weekend, 5-2 over Sevilla, of course, have had such success in UEFA club competition at the weekend. But look, I went to this game. Newcastle were excellent in the first leg, really excellent. And I think Barcelona struggled to cope with their physicality. They struggled to cope with their physicality twice because, of course, they visit Newcastle twice. They will hope home advantage makes the difference, but I think it's another very competitive game.
First time since 2019 that there'll be a knockout stage match with fans at Camp Nou. This will make you feel old. Lamine Yamal was 11. Pau Cubarsí was 12.
No.
Which, you know, we're used to seeing them play for club and country in huge games, but for those two, for everybody to walk out, and we know that the stadium is going to be unbelievable when it's fully renovated. They are opening more and more tiers, so this is it's a big night for Barcelona.
Over 60,000 the weekend, which is a huge deal, and you know they were already really good at home, but they've just been irresistible since they've got back. And you can see Lamine Yamal in particular, like, really relishing this moment that he's waited a long time for.
Elsewhere, you were commentating on this game, John, Liverpool against Galatasaray. The Turkish side 1-0 up after the first leg. This is going to be very tight. Arne Slot spoke after the first leg and today about how the Anfield crowd are going to need to play their part. This is going to be a really interesting match.
It's a big night for them. I think that we watched them in the last round and what they produced in Turin. And I think they will hope to have learned the lessons, because I think they were a little nervous early on in that game. And Juventus were fantastic when they went down to 10 men and won the game 3-0. And of course, then Victor Osimhen sorts them out in extra time. The one thing that Galatasaray will have in this game is they will know that while Barış Yılmaz and Victor Osimhen and Noah Langer on that field, they have a chance to score goals against Liverpool. And that front three, particularly Barış and Osimhen, caused mayhem in their first game in Istanbul. And Liverpool will be very wary of the threat, but also Liverpool, who were probably a little disappointed with their performance against Tottenham at the weekend, will be looking for a lot better in this game. I mean, a big famous night at Anfield is what they love in this competition.
Certainly do. Bayern against Atalanta, the German side 6-1 up. Vincent Kompany saying that the decision of who starts in goal will be a medical one. If everything goes as expected, he has said, Jonas Erbig will start, because if it's not him, there was the possibility, with lots of their goalkeepers out injured, that maybe a 16-year-old Leonard Prescott would have had to have started, which would have been some story. So we will await team news to see exactly who does start, but Bayern hoping that one of their senior goalkeepers is available. With that 5-goal first leg advantage, they were brilliant in Bergamo last week. And the final game on Wednesday, Atletico with a 5-2 lead to take to Tottenham. Diego Simeone's side looking to reach the quarter-finals. We'll have the goals as they go in from every one of Wednesday's matches. Really looking forward to that. Tuesday, just to recap, Real Madrid through, Paris Saint-Germain through, Sporting through, and Arsenal through. And we can hear now from one of the stars, Paris Saint-Germain's Kvaratskhelia Kvaratskhelia, who's been speaking to UEFA's Joe Terry at Stamford Bridge.
Another special night for you and your team in the Champions League. Your fans stuck with you the whole game. Are those performances what you need for this club to maybe go and lift this trophy again?
Yeah, of course, it's very important when you come in this amazing stadium, in amazing atmosphere to win the game. It's very important for us, and we just have to gain our confidence back. So it was our important win tonight, and we are very happy about that. But we have to continue. We know that we have a lot of game ahead, so we just have to be focused for next games.
You have such good options as in your team. You're part of those great options the manager has. In terms of how you set up today, will be a statement against a good Premier League side. Do you feel equipped as a group to go far in this competition?
Yeah, of course, we know that we are capable of everything. We can do it because we already did in the last year. But of course, it's difficult. We have many games ahead. We don't know against who we're going to play. So we just have to play our game, to be focused all the games, defense on us, everything. So I think we just have to work hard and continue like that.
For your back-to-back goals, goals off the bench in the first leg, goals from the start tonight, where do you feel you're at? Do you feel you're in a really good run of form right now?
Yeah, I mean, I try to work hard every day, and it's my job. I want to help that team because it's unbelievable. We have a very good collective together, and we're just happy that we play together, and I'm very happy that I'm part of this team.
He was sensational again, Paris Saint-Germain's Georgian star. As he mentioned, doesn't know who they're going to face in the next round. It will be Galatasaray or Liverpool. Andy, John, before I let you go, moments of the night on this Champions League Tuesday?
For me, it's Eber Echiezi's goal. Mm. Brilliant, just brilliant. And there'll be plenty more to come. And if there are, then Arsenal are going to be pretty close to the winners of this competition.
There has been, I mean, there's constantly history being made in this competition, but there have been so few comebacks of 3 goals down from the first leg that you have to say Sporting. I mean, it's an incredible achievement to come from 3 and then to go to extra time and to maintain the levels and to go on and win 5-0. We love Bodo Glimt. We love what they've done in this competition, but that's an incredible feat that Sporting have achieved.
The moment they press play on the Sporting Club anthem at the end and everybody put their green and white scarves up.
Tears around the stadium. Yeah. Tears from the players as
amazing
well. It was
stuff.
Incredible.
Football does that to you, and that is why we love it. Andy, John, thank you very much for your company. That is just about all we have time for. It was another cracking night in the UEFA Champions League. It always is when we get to this stage of the competition. Congratulations to the first 4 teams through to the quarterfinals. Find out on Wednesday who will join them. Match Day Live back on air from 8:45 p.m. Central European Time. Full commentary of that match between Liverpool and Galatasaray, plus the goals as they go in from the night's other games. If it's half as good as Tuesday, you won't want to miss it. From me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.